Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, first up, we better get on with the show and we'll have a look at the business and indeed front page stories that are making this morning's papers. I'm delighted to welcome former colleague Owen Murphy. He's the managing editor of Shannonside Northern Sound. Thanks for joining us, Owen. Also joined by Sharon Gartland, who's a local business owner, Kilmore Signs. Sharon, you're also very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And so, Owen, we might start with you with our front page of the Irish Independent. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary accuses Aer Lingus pilots of industrial blackmail as the strike threatens summer holiday travel.
Yeah, it was going to take something strong to take the election off the front page because we've all been consumed by the European and local elections all week. So I was surprised when I picked up the front page of the Irish Independent to see a non-election story on the front page. And Michael O'Leary is telling us blackmail, he hitting out at the Aer Lingus summer strike, which is a possibility. I suppose it does seem off the wall that nearly 800 Aer Lingus pilots would be seeking a nearly 24% increase in pay. Like Bobby, I think inflation is currently running at 2.6%. I think that's what the inflation rate is at the moment. That's according to the CSO's stats for April. So I would think 9.25% essentially is what the Labour Court is recommending. That seems like more.
There was also an independent pay tribunal last year that recommended 12.25%. Of a percent increase.
Indeed.
That was also rejected, but that's still half of what, 24%.
Well, it's always the case, as you would know, Bobby, from the business world, it's always the case that you set your bar very high and then you try to come down to something which is reasonable. Isn't that the case?
Yeah.
If I'm looking for 30%, I say I want 40%. But to say you're looking for 24% seems very high. There's another element to this, of course, Bobby, is that it's Michael O'Leary talking about pay. Now, Michael O'Leary is a hugely successful businessman, but it does seem a bit ironic that he's talking about pay. Like, the article in the Indo is also telling us that by 2028 he is in for a €100 million windfall if he can boost the airline's share or annual profits above specific levels, and the article tells us that that's something it is almost certain to achieve unless some major global event hits air traffic. So there's a certain irony there.
Sharon, what was your take on this? One of the things, just reading between the lines, I see that Aer Lingus rejected the electronic ballot, and that said to me that they had to do a manual ballot.
Yeah.
So that said to me that there might be some suspicion over the overwhelming result that came. Now, they're not saying that, but that's the way I'd be reading it.
Yeah, well, I think we're all familiar with the problems with electronic ballots, and that's why there's so many of them sitting in a warehouse in Dublin. But yeah, it does seem very suspicious that they have gone back to the paper one. There's also, like, there's huge, consequences there, like 40,000 passengers a day, and if they don't give sufficient notice, these people aren't entitled to compensation. I think it's going to be hugely damaging for Aer Lingus, and I think Michael O'Leary never misses an opportunity to try and put down another company. And also, I'd say he's probably fearing the fact that he pays his pilots an awful lot less than what the Aer Lingus pilots are on at the moment.
Are you sure about that? Because I'm not sure. I didn't think there was that much of a difference.
No, I think there's a difference. Well, certainly if they get a 24 to 25% increase, it's going to put him under a lot of pressure from his own employment point of view.
Well, we'll watch this space. But again, any kind of, disruption out in Dublin Airport, it's a crazy place at the best of times. And it's the last thing we need as a consumer, I can tell you.
Yeah, storing all the aircraft during a strike as well is going to be an absolute nightmare. It'll cause chaos.
And also the cost of it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll move on. Let's look at an economic story, effectively by Patrick Honahan, the former governor of the Central Bank of Ireland, between 2009 and 2015. But the article is headlined, why more central banks were caught out by inflation, Owen. Quite a good analysis here.
No, it is a good analysis. I was thinking back actually to when I was working in News Talk before I came down here to work for Shannonside Northern Sound. And one of the things we were always reporting on, it became a regular thing when we were in News Talk, was these continuous interest rate increases. The ECB said it was its own way to tackle rising inflation. And those of us who aren't of a business line, sometimes we found that hard to understand. Now, we had 2 years of increases. So we had 10 in a row. So Patrick O'Hanley's telling us that their inflation here rose by 17% in the 50 months since the pandemic. Of course, we did have two big economic shocks during that period. We had the COVID war. We had the COVID pandemic. We had the Ukraine war. And I suppose we've had 4% of increases. I think it's 4.5% of increases in that 2 years. We've now had one decrease of 0.25%, which I suppose is very little. But Patrick O'Hanlon seems to be telling us that there is going to be a little easing to come, but not very much and not very soon. So 4.5% of an increase we've had in the space of 2 years, we've now had a 0.25% decrease. It's a bit like someone putting on 4 stone, Bobby, and then losing maybe 2 pounds, isn't it?
And it's also, you know, you look at who the winners and losers are here. The banks make on the way up and on the way down.
They do.
And they're always slow to give out any benefit of interest rates.
So we had increases for at every meeting of the ECB for those 2 years, almost every meeting of the ECB for those 2 years, we had increases. We've now had one decrease. So we have to put that into perspective. Yeah. When are we going to get the other 9 decreases is the big question,
Absolutely.
Bobby.
Sharon, as I say, good analysis by Honohan. He also says that the inflation was largely transported to us from the US.
Yeah.
That was the influence of what happened in the US.
Yeah.
We got a bitter cold here.
Absolutely. Like, it's huge. And as I say, they talk about the, you know, the bottlenecks outside the harbours in California and stuff like that, with various container ships trying to come in and just supply and demand of stuff. And it, just the knock-on effect that that has. And the interest rates, you know, people thinking that the US was a safe haven, the sterling rate, the exchange rate, everything, just the knock-on effect has been massive. And again, as I say, a huge amount of it coming through the Russian invasion of Ukraine started the kind of the impact, if you like, between natural gas, other energy products, and it's often kind of brushed under the carpet, if you like.
Well, the conclusion of his article says, so, much more easing to come, but not very much, and not very soon.
But not in the space of 2 years.
Not in the space of 2 years, no.
There you go. Okay. Now, I know both of you have been embraced and engaged hugely in the local and European elections. Sharon, you were indeed a candidate. Tell us a little bit about your own experience.
I was,
over the last number of weeks.
Months. It's a very steep learning curve. It was my first time to run as a candidate, and I've learned a huge amount.
Yeah.
Whether I would put myself through the endurance test again or not is probably a conversation for 6 months' time.
It's a tough space.
It's very tough, yeah. Especially trying to run a business as well and do all the, you know, it's huge.
Relentless.
Yeah, it's huge.
Owen, you've been the last, what, two weeks in count centres?
Yeah, I've had a slightly different endurance test to Sharon. I suppose it started right behind me there, literally right behind me, 20 yards behind me, at 9 o'clock last Saturday morning when the count for County Leitrim started. It finished 20 hours later. Stop. We were 20 hours stuck there trying to engage our listeners with the facts and figures of the elections until it ended at 5:03 in the morning. And then I got a few hours sleep, and then I went off to Castlebar. And I was in Castlebar then from Sunday right through to early hours of Friday morning, about 80 hours of counting.
My God, so, that's an endurance test.
Oh, so it was some endurance test. The only positive is that I'm off to Morocco this evening.
Well, well earned, well earned. And we've an interesting, I suppose, analysis of the 14 MEPs heading off to Brussels in today's Independent. And do any of them stand out for you in terms of your experience over the last couple of days?
I spent much of the past week with Luke Ming-Flanagan, because Luke Ming-Flanagan is our local MEP here, and he was at the Count Centre in Castlebar. And I think the story of his election for me was very interesting. Like, I was looking back to 25 years ago. That's when he first contested the European elections in the Connacht Ulster constituency. Now, he got nearly 5,000 votes. Now, 5,000 votes might sound like a lot, but it's nothing when it comes to a European election. This time he got 119,000. He topped the poll. So he has now been in Europe for 10 years. I suppose his gradual rise is what has always fascinated me. Like, he wasn't taken seriously at the start. He was seen as this man who was solely trying to campaign on the decriminalisation of cannabis. Then he did start to be taken seriously. He got elected to the Roscommon County Council in 2004, then made his way onto the Dáil in 2011, then onto the European Parliament in 2014, and he's held a seat ever since then. And now he could be going off to the Áras, Bobby. He told us during the week when he was at the Count Centre in Castlebar, when we were trying to fill the vacuum, we asked him, would you think of contesting the presidential election next year? And he said he would, very much considering it, and he's going to consider it. So from being an also-ran in the European elections 25 years ago to going into the Áras, it's quite a story.
Very interesting story and very interesting career track. Sharon, what about you?
I suppose the celebrity ones kind of stuck out for me. Ciara Mullooly, I suppose, being the most local one to hear and somebody I've met on several occasions. And it was one of the things that said, like, I ran myself as a local candidate, and regularly on the doors I'd hear people saying, you know, about the Europeans, and I'll vote for your man from RTE.
Wasn't it George Lee got something like 19,000 first preference votes? When he went, and like, he basically the highest poll topper in that election.
Absolutely. Yeah. The hope for Ciara Mullooly will be that he will last longer than George Lee.
Absolutely. Well, I think he will. Yeah. I think he will. Okay, we better move on. Next story we were going to cover was the rise the rise and demise of CNC. This is an interesting business story.
Yeah, very interesting.
And again, they've had a succession of two recent CEOs came and went. The share price has tanked. It's a very, very profitable business, but it's a business that really seems to be lurching from crisis to crisis.
Yeah, for those of us who see Bulmers selling pretty well around the bars here in Carrick and Shannon, and indeed around the hotels, this might come as a bit of a surprise to us. But this article is about basically the disastrous fortunes of CNC since it was floated 20 years ago. They wanted to conquer Europe. It seems they haven't succeeded in that. They may have succeeded in conquering some of the cider market here in Ireland. Then they tried to conquer the US. That was certainly a disaster. This article is telling us that they bought a local cider group for $305 million in 2012, and then they sold it for $20 million. So that doesn't seem like much of a success. They've had more trouble in recent years. They've had COVID lockdowns. They've had the inflation crisis like many of us. And then last Friday, Patrick McMahon, the chief executive, stepping down with immediate effect after the company was forced to sell. So despite the fact that Bulmers seems to be selling well enough around Carrick, it's not doing great globally by the looks of it.
And one of the kind of tea leaves reading through the lines of Joe Brennan's article is that if they delay in appointing a third CEO in it, that basically they're saying we're for sale here.
Absolutely.
It's the unwritten language. Sharon, just SMS and the demise of SMS at the gain of WhatsApp, an article by Adrian Wechter today. What did you make of that?
Well, yeah, I'd see there's a lot of valid points in it, in that, like, most of the scam messages now that people get, they get via SMS. So I think people have lost a huge amount of trust in the SMS system. And everybody is so familiar with WhatsApp. It's free, it's cheap, but it's not regulated.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's going to be the issue with it.
And most of the WhatsApp, you know, the fact that it's one provider and then basically, like, SMS is over. It's the fact that people are still paying for text almost seems crazy.
Yeah.
Well, when you've got a free option.
Yeah. And it's so
convenient.
Convenient, quick groups, you know, all the rest. I don't know how they're going to revive it, but.
Last story for you, Owen. The Singaporean goalkeeper who has some positive fortunes from some Chinese footballers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story about Chinese football fans pouring their love and money into a Singaporean footballer's food stall after his performance in a game this week that was indirectly helped China's advance to the third round of the World Cup in 2026. So this goalkeeper, he's called Hassan Sunni. He's a 40-year-old on the national team. He became an overnight celebrity on Chinese social media after Singapore's 3-1 loss to Thailand on Thursday. China would have been eliminated if Thailand had won by 3 goals, but Sunny made enough saves to prevent that from happening. And now his food stall has jumped to number one in the Singaporean snack and food section. So he's had a great rise to fortunes thanks to his footballing expertise.
Well, listen, thanks for a great review about the papers. Owen Murphy, managing editor of Shannonside Northern Sound, and indeed Sharon Gartland from Kilmore Science.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.